following is a presentation of the New Skin, BYU Sports Network. BYU football is 2 hours away from kickoff, and Cougar Pregame Live is here to get you ready for BYU versus SMU. Cougar Pregame Live is brought to you by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Cougar Pregame Live is also brought to you by Tucano's Brazilian Grill. Phenomenal flavors, a festive setting, and more fun than you can shake a skewer at. Also brought to you by Siegfried and Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Good afternoon and happy Friday, everybody. Welcome into Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame Live. Mountain America is the official credit union of BYU Athletics. And tonight, under the Friday night lights in the Lone Star State, the BYU Cougars in Dallas, Texas, for their first road game of the season against the 2-0 SMU Mustangs. As mentioned, my name is Jason Shepherd. I'm hanging out with you in our BYU radio studios in Provo, Utah. Thank you for joining us for BYU football. And joining me from Gerald J. Ford Stadium in the Metroplex is former BYU Cougar great Hans Olsen. Hans, how are you, my friend?
Doing great, Shep. And we're all settled here in the nest, overlooking the horseshoe with the closed flat end at the Ford Stadium, and it is a beautiful day right now. You got some overcast clouds kind of moving in on us a little bit, probably going to see a little bit of rain through the parts of the second half, but it is a gorgeous day and cannot wait to see this game kick off.
Yeah, this one's going to be a fun one. This is going to be a matchup of, well, I mean, what we hope is two prolific offenses, it may be one of those games where whichever defense steps up first and best will be on the victorious side. But let's get into this a little bit more. And I think for BYU fans, one of the things that's so exciting about the matchup is after so many months of not having anything to compare it to, now BYU has played a game. And BYU looked good. And yes, it was against an FCS team, but I think the way BYU handled itself and the way that the offense performed and how good the defense looked in terms of its attacking nature. And yes, sir, I know what the quarterback was able to do on the ground. Overall, I think there was a lot of encouragement coming out of the week one win heading into week two.
I think there was a lot of encouragement. And I also think that there were a lot of gaps that they needed to go back, look at the film, and make sure they clean up, especially coming in against this SMU team, Shep. So there's a lot of things. I've kind of circled it. There were a couple over-the-top passes. Now, one was incomplete that was called complete down in the red zone against BYU, against SIU, that probably should have been an incompletion, but they didn't see it. But still, you've got over-the-top catches, and that was a 43-yard catch, and there was another long over-the-top throw, catch, reception that you've got to look at. So watch for the deep balls. But the most concerning thing that I took from last week coming into this week was 121 yards rushing for DJ Williams, yeah, the SIU quarterback. And you've got two capable rushing quarterbacks for SMU that you've got to make sure that you close the gaps and take care of. So, Shep, as I go back and I look at this, you know, Jay Hill coming back from his heart attack, he was in the stadium last week against the Salukis. I know that Kalani mentioned that he was right back to work and getting ready for SMU and fully expected to be a part of the game plan and the calling and everything else that comes with it. Jay Hill has a huge task today, and that is cleaning up some of the gaps that we saw against the Salukis and making sure that they don't have those holes and those opportunities for this SMU offense, because they do have the personnel that could really exploit it.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You mentioned the two quarterbacks. Preston Stone is the starting quarterback, and their head coach, Rhett Lashley, reaffirmed that this week, that Preston Stone has earned the right to be the starter, but he will use multiple quarterbacks. Kevin Jennings is going to see some time. That's what they've done in the previous two games, and he likes what both quarterbacks bring. But make no mistake, Preston Stone is the leader of that offense, and boy, can they score. They are on a nine-game home winning streak, and over those nine games at home, they are averaging almost 54 points per game. That is ridiculously good, Hans.
It's really good, and I have spoke with a couple of SMU personnel, and talk to them about their quarterback situation. They fully expect Preston Stone to go. In fact, they think that Preston Stone should take the entire game. I take a look at it and I say, well, I expect to see some Kevin Jennings, because why wouldn't you play Kevin Jennings after what we saw from DJ Williams? Why wouldn't you implement a little bit of QB run and make sure that you've got some rushing packages for your quarterback to at least keep the defense honest? Preston Stone can move, but not as well as Kevin Jennings. And then we talk about Kevin Jennings just in the time that he spent on the field against Nevada. He still had a nice completion rate. He did lead them on their opening touchdown opportunity. And then Preston Stone took it over in the second half and really got going. But I like both these quarterbacks. I like them a lot, and I like this offense. And I like this running back. This running back, Shep, he is a Miami transfer, and they took him from the wide receiver spot, and they've moved him to the running back spot. They've put a little bit of weight on him. So he is a receiving threat. He is very fast. He grew up in a tough environment in one of the top ACC programs. He's definitely battle-tested. He's got nearly 200 yards in the first two games. He can give you that receiving option. He's got 30 yards in receiving and a couple of catches. So it's just going to be one thing after the other for Jay Hill and this defense. I'm just telling you, Shep, there's a couple of different things that this defense is going to have to do. And they're going to have to make some adjustments as they go along. But my biggest fear is that this offense is going to force them into a lot of zone action. And as you know, that Jay Hill defense, they like to press. Yeah. They like to press with Jacob Robinson. They like to press with Mark Collins. They brought Mark Collins from Weber State because they feel like they can press with him. So when you're taking on a quarterbacks like Preston Stone and Kevin Jennings, and you're pressing, well, you're turning your back to the action, and you can run streaks, and you can run, four, five, six of your defenders out of the impact zone for that rushing area for the quarterback. So you're going to have to keep your face to the quarterback, run zone, and then you just hope that Preston Stone doesn't pick you apart, because, in my opinion, R.J. Maryland, their tight end, is one of the best zone-sitting tight ends that you're going to be able to find in college football, which means he knows gaps, he knows spacings, he understands zone protections, and he's going to sit in those gaps, and he and Preston Stone will just pick you apart. They'll go right up and down the field if you have to zone too much. So they also tried to spy last week, and I'm talking about BYU's defense. They tried to spy last week against R.J. Williams, and it was not successful, obviously, with 121 rushing yards. It was not successful. So if you do spy, well, change the spy up a little bit. Maybe this week try Isaiah Glasker as a spy. Maybe this week try Tommy Parrasis, or maybe try Talon Alfrey, or maybe try Jack Kelly. Or you got to kind of move around, and you got to find the guy that's the right fit, because that spy technique – is a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
And when you're sitting at a 6 or 7 yard depth and you're taking on a very fast quarterback and he sees a lane that opens and he takes off, making that open field tackle on a good athletic quarterback is one of the toughest things you're going to do as a defender. If it's an athletic quarterback, which Kevin Jennings is. So if you do go with the spy techniques in an effort to keep the press on the outside so you can really run with these receivers, you're going to have to find the right guy that can do it. And then finally, your defensive line is going to have very conservative rushing lanes. Now, I think that this SMU offensive line is susceptible to the rush. I think you can get to the quarterbacks through a traditional one-on-one rush against this offensive line. The problem is, Shep, this takes the availability for wide rush, wide speed rush, getting out of your lanes, heavy spins down inside. Your contains are going to be critical, and your rush lanes are going to be important. And I'm just telling you right now, if you get lazy, if you get pushed out, if you start getting moved out of your lanes, then you got a problem there. So as you can tell, this is doing a lot for Jay Hill and what he's got to do defensively.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that really stands out to me from a defensive perspective for BYU is how they handle the up-tempo offense. And when I say that SMU is fast, I'm not necessarily talking about they have fast players. They certainly do. But as soon as they have a play that is done, they are dead sprint back to the line of scrimmage, and they are ready to run the next play. So how is BYU going to handle that in terms of communication, in terms of getting guys in the right alignment, or being able to have substitutions if you can when the opposition moves as quickly to the next play as SMU wants to? How is BYU going to be able to handle that? That's one of the things for me personally I'm very curious to see how the BYU defense handles.
Well, I think they're going to be okay with that, Shep, because I know at practice this week and just spending some time just understanding what they're trying to do in practice this week, they were doing everything they could to perfect that. And as you talk about it, then now specifically when it's a downfield play, things get really rushed. But they worked really hard at making sure they got the right personnel, that they've got scheme acknowledgement as they're rushing back to the line of scrimmage, and then working on the percentages of plays on snaps on first down after long plays with the hurry-up offense. They've worked extensively on making sure that they're there and ready to take that snap and defend on whatever they're going to show. And because, you know, you've got two games of film for SMU that you can at least prepare for.
Yep.
One that was very competitive against Nevada, where SMU had to pull some of the offense out of the books. You know, they couldn't bury everything like BYU did last week against Southern Illinois. You've got some idea and understanding based on hash, yard marker, and down and distance of what they'll do in that hurry up. So that's going to help you, because at least you got the two games of film under your belt.
Absolutely. We're going to get more of a deep dive on the SMU Mustangs when we come back. Leah Asimakopoulos from the Dallas Morning News is going to join us, and we'll preview tonight's matchup between the Cougars and the Mustangs. This is Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame Live, and we'll have more next on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's Jason Shepherd.
Welcome back. Shep hanging out with you in our BYU radio studios in Provo, Utah. In Dallas, Texas, at Gerald J. Ford Stadium is Hans Olsen. He'll be on the call with Greg Rubel and Mitchell Juergens. And joining Hans in the booth currently, she covers the SMU Mustangs for the Dallas Morning News. Her name is Leah Asimakopoulos. Leah, thanks for taking a few minutes. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So let's get into this. SMU is embarking on something that BYU is now familiar with. BYU went through this last year, joining a now P4 conference and joining the Big 12. For SMU, they're joining the ACC. Now, they have not played a conference game yet, but I'm curious, overall, how has that transition to a P4 conference gone so far for SMU?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very exciting year for SMU. They've wanted this for decades, to be in a power conference, and are now getting that opportunity. And that's why this week, even though it's not a conference game, is a really important one for SMU, kind of a measuring stick to see where they match up against other teams that have made that jump to a power conference. And SMU hasn't beaten a power conference team at home since 2010. So this is a game that would be a really important one for them to win, especially as they're going to be welcoming Florida State and, you know, some big ACC opponents to the stadium in a couple of weeks.
You know, Florida State may not be as big of a deal as we originally thought,
true,
right?
That's true. But, you know, you never know. They can turn things around. But overall, you know, it's an exciting year for SMU, and, you know, they need these next two games against BYU and TCU to really start to prove themselves as a team that can compete in a power conference.
We've talked about how difficult it is to win in this stadium, and you mentioned it had not played a power team since 2010, but they just don't lose a lot here. 25-4 since 2019 in this stadium. Why is it so difficult to win here?
Yeah, I mean, I think that SMU's just, you know, been successful at home. Sometimes it's kind of hard to put a reason on it, but they've been good here, and that's something they took a lot of pride in. They take a lot of pride in, you know, their ability to finish, especially later in the season here. It worked really well for them last year in their final AAC season, and it's something that they want to carry moving forward. And, you know, with the schedule they have at home especially, they should be able to, you know, be well above 500 at home this season if all goes as planned. But yes, it's definitely not easy to come in here, so we'll see what happens tonight.
Leah, let's talk about the quarterback position. Preston Stone with a breakout season last year, and he was named the starter. He is the starter But Kevin Jennings has also seen time in the games that the Mustangs have played so far this year. Coach Lashley said to the media this week that he anticipates to see that continue. Do you anticipate that they will use both guys and that will be a season-long thing, or do you think the coaches eventually phase that out and go with Stone?
I think they are going to plan to use both of them throughout the season, but I really think the game is going to dictate that. We saw it a little bit in the first game of the year, the Nevada game, where they start with Preston Stone, they bring in Kevin Jennings, and they end up sticking with Preston Stone kind of down the stretch of that game when SMU had its comeback. And Rhett Lashley said, you know, when you're down the stretch in a fourth quarter needing to come back, it might not be the best choice to be rotating between quarterbacks. You need someone to kind of find a rhythm. So in that game, they were kind of forced to pick one. Whereas last week, you know, they alternated two. They even brought in their third string, Keldrick Luster. Of course, it's a 50-point blowout, so you can do that. So I do think every game they are intending to play two, but Rhett Lashley said this week, he kind of reiterated, Preston Stone is the starter. You know, he is the guy that we are planning to go with and play in close games. So I would not rule out seeing Kevin Jennings, but if this is a close game, I think you're going to see more of Preston.
I want you to teach us a little bit about Casey Woods. Tell us what we need to know about the offensive coordinator at SMU.
Well, SMU, as you were mentioning earlier, likes to kind of push the pace on offense. I think one of the interesting things about SMU is, you know, it's a pretty versatile receiving game. They don't have a real primary target, and if you want to pick one, it's going to be your tight end, RJ Maryland, who, of course, had a breakout 162-yard game in that first game of the season. But, you know, last game, you see three different receivers score touchdowns, so it's going to be pretty spread out. You can't really just focus on one guy. You got two quarterbacks coming in there, three running backs, so, you know, there's a lot of weapons that the offense uses, and so far for SMU, it's paid off in these first two games.
Let's talk SMU defense. BYU quarterback Jake Retzlaff had quite the debut last week. And, yes, it was against, you know, Southern Illinois, but 350 yards, you know, three touchdowns. I believe he threw passes to 11 different receivers. They caught passes from him. So I think they're coming in feeling pretty good. What type of defense? Because obviously the SMU offense gets talked about a lot because of the numbers that they put up. How good is this defense for the Mustangs?
So, yes, the offense gets talked about a lot, but the defense may be what they take even more pride in, especially coming off last year. SMU added some pretty big names, Power 5 names, from the transfer portal, especially on defensive line, returned all three of their top linebackers. So, you know, definitely a lot of confidence in the defense. I know you mentioned BYU's quarterback and what they did last week. That's going to be an interesting test for SMU this week because they really haven't dealt with that so far this season. The secondary hasn't really been tested in that way, so we'll kind of have to see what that looks like. But through the first two games, the defensive line has looked really great. They scored a touchdown last week, had a safety the week before, made some big plays, and been probably more consistent than the offense has in these first couple games.
Let's talk a little bit more about that defensive line. Number 5, Elijah Roberts. I know he comes from Miami last year, 10 sacks. He had a couple of forced fumble strip sacks that were just incredible. And got a lot of business done on the outside. He does check in at 295 pounds. You know, he hits the eyeball at right around 295 to 305. He's a big dude and has not put together a sack yet this season.
Yeah, not yet.
But what are you seeing? What are the differences that you're seeing with Elijah Roberts? Is he still dangerous in the pass rush?
I think absolutely. We actually asked Rhett Lashley about this after the last game because he hasn't really – you haven't heard his name a whole lot yet this season. And Rhett Lashley said it was still a little bit too early to know whether people are focusing on him a little more, knowing the season that he had last year. But that's why they've really wanted to kind of build that depth on defensive line, because they know when you're playing power conference opponents like this, you can't just have a guy. You need, you know, a guy, a group, and then a backup group. So we've seen kind of a lot from guys like Tank Booker. He was a transfer addition from Arkansas. He had the safety and the touchdown. Jafari Harvey, another Miami transfer, he's been a big addition for them. So, you know, Roberts is absolutely still a threat and going to be the leader on this defense, but they're kind of looking to others to help pick up some of that slack as well.
Leah, last thing for you before we let you go, and I'm curious from a big picture standpoint, how SMU is viewed in Dallas and in that area. And I asked for a couple of reasons. Obviously, they're going to start to get much more notice joining, you know, the ACC, and that will bring more attention to the program. We know certainly what they were in their past and how big they were, but I've heard a lot of stuff about the fact that with this game being on a Friday night, with Texas football, high school football being as big as it is, that maybe, you know, there may not be as many SMU fans in attendance. How is SMU viewed in the Dallas area?
It's a really good question. What you bring up about it being a Friday night is something I've heard within the program of, you know, you've got Highland Park High School right down the road here, and that's a blue blood Texas high school football program, and people have to decide, do they come to this game, do they go to that game? So SMU's in a little bit of an interesting position because of that, but, you know, it's a very loyal alumni from this school, and I think, as you mentioned, the move to the ACC is definitely bringing more eyeballs to the program. And, you know, you're in the Dallas Metroplex, some of the best high school football in the country, and from a recruiting standpoint, I think it's going to benefit them a lot to be able to have kids now stay home, and they don't have to go to Austin to play at UT. They don't have to go to College Station to play at A&M. They can be in a Power 5 program right in their backyard. So definitely more excitement around the Mustangs than you know, it's been in decades, but it's been a long journey for this program to kind of build that excitement around it since it used to be in the 80s. So I think people are very hopeful for what can come this season.
Well, it should be a good one tonight. Leah, thank you so much. Great insight. We appreciate the time, and enjoy this one tonight. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Leah.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
There we go. Leah Asimakopoulos covering the SMU Mustangs for the Dallas Morning News. All right, we've spent a lot of time talking about the SMU quarterbacks. We're going to now talk about BYU's quarterback, and that's Jake Retzlaff. He was named BYU starting quarterback, and he did not disappoint in week one. So what does that mean this week and moving forward? Well, Hans will break it down next in X's and Olsen. You're listening to the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Back to Jason Shepherd and Hans Olsen for more Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
See, here's what you don't know. You hear those guitar riffs coming in. Those are actually played live. That's Hans. He brings the electric guitar wherever we have pregame, and he just plays those just like it's nobody's business.
I do that, and I'm also good on the xylophone. So either one that you might need, I'm always ready. I bring them both to the booth.
Well, I have not heard the xylophone, so I would like you to bring us back in the next segment with xylophone, if you wouldn't mind.
I've actually started into the oboe. Okay. Because I do like the melodic, the kind of the lone melodic tones of the oboe. But I have perfected both the electric guitar, the xylophone, and working on the oboe.
I'm still working on the recorder that they give us in like the third grade that you're supposed to play. I still haven't even mastered that. But
oh, you'll get there.
I know.
Keep hitting that merry little amp. Keep that thumb off that bottom hole.
That's right.
Be able to hit those random
notes.
Right.
All right, but we digress. Jake Retzlaff, I was very impressed with what I saw from Jake in week one last Saturday. 20 of 30, 348 yards, two touchdowns, 11 players caught passes, as I mentioned in that interview. He also ran for 31 yards, 8 carries. And beyond anything else, Hans, he seemed to be in complete control of the offense, and I loved it. And he'd even have all of his weapons available to him. He's got that today. What did you make of Jake? And break it down for us in the X's and Olsen segment. What did you see that you like that you can sort of spin this forward as we go into tonight and throughout the rest of this season for Jake?
Well, first and foremost, I think we saw probably 50%, maybe 50% of the playbook. So it goes very deep. We know that Aaron Roderick has a lot of tricks and a lot of different things that he loves to do. So it was the limited playbook because it was against SIU. Now, they were prepared to open it and do what they needed to if things got touchy. But they got the early lead and had scores in both first possessions for first and second halves, and I thought it just rolled really well. So it goes a lot deeper. So Jake Retzlaff showed that he's got control of the 40 to 50% that they rolled out, and we'll see if he can control the other half that gets a little bit more technical, which I'm excited to see. Jake Retzlaff, outside of that, there were things that I really liked. I loved his deep ball touch. He hit one to JoJo Phillips that was perfect. He hit one to Keelan Marion over a double coverage that rolled into a triple coverage as Keelan came across the field in the deep slant, and he put it right on the money. And So I'm really happy about the deep ball. We did see a couple of those last year, too. He actually hit Keanu Hill in a deep ball. I think it was against Oklahoma State there at the back end of the year where he had some touch, put some air under it. Now, here's the thing, though, Shep, you got to pay attention to this.
Okay.
Against the Salukis, he could settle his feet, and he could launch that with confidence, and he launched it in a clean pocket. He was throwing those at about a 2.5 count, close to a 3 count. As a defensive end, if you give me a 3 count, I'm going to hit you. If you give me a 2.5 count, I probably should at least get a hand on you, if not hit you. That ball needs to be gone fast. He can't think that he can throw it at the same tempo that he threw it against Southern Illinois, because SMU will get there and they will make him pay. He does like the deep ball and he's good at it. He went 20 of 30. He actually completed 66.7% of his passes last week for 348 yards and 3 touchdowns. And then the final note on Jake Retzlaff, the big number that counts, 0 interceptions.
Yep.
No turnovers. That is the reason he won the starting quarterback job over Gary Bohannon. That is the reason he's out there as your team leader and controlling this offense, because he cannot give possession to SMU. Look, an extra possession to SMU's offense is good for at least 3 points, but probably 7. So do not give them any more. Do not give them any extra possessions offensively by any stupid turnovers or bad mistakes or bad decisions, because Shep, SMU is going to do a better job of pushing him into making those bad split-second decisions that might fall into their hands. Don't do it. I'll give you a for instance. When Jake was rolling out, they were going to the north end zone, and he was rolling out on his own about 40-yard line, and he was running so fast, and he tried to throw it back across the body as he was getting close to the sideline, and I think he was targeting Chase Roberts, and it was wildly inaccurate. That will be an interception against SMU. When you're running too fast, understand your body control. Don't do anything stupid, because number 23, Isaiah Wachovia, is a crazy good safety. And he's got a couple of pick sixes from last year. He had 6 interceptions, and he will do damage if you make bad mistakes and quick split-second decisions like that.
Great stuff. Coming up next, we're going to switch gears a little bit. We're going to talk about the defense, and Shep Talk will go to the defensive side of the football with defensive end Isaiah Banya. That's coming up after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're tuned to Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Now, back to Jason Shepherd.
And it's brought to you by Mountain America Credit Union, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Welcome back. Redshirt senior defensive end Isaiah Banya is in his second season with the Cougars and already has a sack this year to match his total from last season. I always love talking with Isaiah. He's great to talk to, fantastic personality, and he is this week's guest for Shep Talk. I asked Isaiah what he learned about the defense and his team in general in the Week 1 win over SIU.
Witness and experience, honestly, with this defense is that, you know, we got a chip on our shoulder, and we got a lot to prove, especially being this Big 12 and in this new conference for us. We believe that we are definitely top tier, you know, especially up front. And, of course, you know, DBs all around, but specifically up front, you know, we played good. We played aggressive. I think we still got a lot to grow in. And that's something I'm excited for because, you know, after our first game, we saw a lot of good flashes, you know, what everybody can do, truthfully.
All of the off-season low expectations and hearing everybody on the outside talk about how they didn't think BYU was going to be good. That's really affected you guys, hasn't it? You guys took that personally, didn't you?
Absolutely. You know, we talked about it all offseason. That's what motivated us. You know, I've never seen a team work so hard to not only just be, you know, physically better, mentally better, scheme-wise better, but just all around on all phases, just improvements. Yeah, dude, it fueled us, man. It fueled me, that's for sure. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited to, you know, not just prove them wrong, but prove us right.
You had one sack last year. You've already picked up one sack in the first half in week one. How good did that feel to kind of start the season off that way? I know it's just one game, but I thought the attacking nature of the defense against Southern Illinois was obvious. How much has that aspect been emphasized defensively so far?
Big time. I mean, every day we'd make an emphasis of, you know, being urgent. And that's in everything. That's being urgent with our footwork. It's being urgent even in our individual drills. It shifts over to team. It shifts over to, you know, our actual competing reps, like one-on-ones, stuff like that, pass rush, even in the run game, being urgent with our hands, being urgent with our strikes, and being urgent when it comes to being physical. And so, truthfully, that's what happens, you know? And so we got the idea. We're getting more used to the feel of it because we had a lot of flashes of it last season, right? If you look at Arkansas, you know, even TCU, Loggins, you know, we definitely played aggressive, but this year we want to make it our core identity.
SMU has a prolific offense and they play super fast.
They do.
How do you guys combat that speed?
Yeah, I mean, we are just as fast as a defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are very intentional and detailed with our prep. And also, too, when we're out there on the field, the key is to communicate, align, and assign. It's just being very detailed and efficient and urgent with our pre-snap, and we'll be good.
Because they play so up-tempo and they're getting plays in and starting the next play so quickly, how much is the communication that you were just talking about, how much does that play into that aspect that you may not have a normal amount of time to call a play and get everybody in the right alignment? How much has that been a focus this week?
It's huge. You know, when you talk about the preparation aspect of it, that's where it all comes from. That's where it all sprouts from, right? Because I'm not just talking to the D-line ball. I'm also turn around. I'm talking to the linebackers. Sometimes I'm even talking to the safeties, the corners. And so in those regards, it comes down to a lot of film, comes down to a lot of communications and meeting as defensive units, which we're doing. That's what's going to do it for us.
I know you and your defensive teammates have talked about how you were not pleased with the way that you allowed the Saluki quarterback to be able to run on the ground. And that's something that you guys have put an emphasis on this week, knowing that you might see two quarterbacks, both can run if they need to. How much of a focal point do you expect that to be in this game, containing the quarterback run?
At the end of the day, affecting the quarterback is going to be our main goal in the pass game, even in the run game, right? And that's ultimately just going back to, you know, being detailed with our assignments and executing our fundamentals and techniques, right? Especially on the edge and on the interior. We could throw, you know, different stunts at him, which we will, of course, you know, different blitz and all that. But at the end of the day, what it's going to come down to is, you know, us D-line locking in and being disciplined.
You ready for the Texas heat and humidity?
I'm ready. See, that's the thing, man. I enjoy the heat. I like going out there, man. You know, last year, even when we went down to Austin, I had a long sleeve on. I had the one leg sleeve, man. You know, hey, bring on the heat, man. I'm good.
You're defying the heat. You want the heat. That's what I like.
Right? Absolutely. The thing is, man, is because it's probably because when we're growing up, you know, in Canada, if you ever see my high school film, you'll see the type of weather that I had to play in. I missed out on all the heat. I missed out playing in the sun, man. It's time to bring it on. I'm ready for it, man.
All right, let's wrap things up with the final four. Pineapple on a pizza, yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Your favorite NFL team is who and why?
So bear with me with this one. I'm a New York Giants fan. I have been since I was 11 years old. In fact, the reason why I started playing football was because I watched the New York Giants play in the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And that was the first football game I ever watched in general. And I was like, man, this is crazy. I need to do that someday. Shoot, next thing you know, I'm picking up a helmet and short pads myself. And so I like to think I'm a very loyal individual. And so I've stuck with them ever since, man.
That's what I like. You're riding or dying with your team, regardless of the peaks and valleys. They're your team, and I appreciate that. I like that.
I appreciate that.
All right. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Ooh, you know, I have actually never been to a concert.
Really?
Really?
Okay, so I'm not concert guy myself, but I've been to probably five, two of which have been with my kids, and they're like kid concerts.
Sure.
So really three legit concerts in my life. But you've got me beat. No concert. So you just, it's just not your thing?
Yeah, and also too, you know, just the places I've been to, truthfully, until I've gotten here, like concerts never really happened, or at least the concerts that, you know, did happen, I wasn't really truly, you know, interested on going. So
like I said, I'm not concert guy either. So it's fine. All right, last question. It's the 100th season of BYU football. Mm-hmm. What responsibility do you feel to keep the legacy going?
I like that question. I think it's there's a lot of pressure, a lot of good pressure, you know, to really go out there and perform this year, especially after last year. That's obviously not the identity of this program and this program's history. And that's obviously not the standard. So with that being said, is to go out there and win games. That's a standard, and that's what we fully intend to do. That's what I fully intend to do and give it my all. Like, this is 100 years of an incredible legacy. You know, it means more than the majority of people even know to some people. You know what I'm saying? That's something that, for me, that's an emphasis this season. And for, you know, my teammates, I believe that's the same as well.
Isaiah, great stuff as always. I always enjoy getting a chance to talk with you. Good luck this week. Enjoy the heat and good luck against the Mustangs. Thanks, man.
Thank you, Chef. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, that was defensive end Isaiah Banya. Now, BYU is the first Big 12 team that will play this weekend. The only one playing tonight. Everything else happens tomorrow. We'll go over the schedule in the Big 12 and the Big 12 Blitz coming up next. You're tuned to Mountain America Credit Union Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Mountain America Credit Union is the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Jason Shepherd with you here in Provo, Utah. Joining me from Dallas, Texas, site of tonight's BYU at SMU matchup, is former Cougar and our radio analyst, Hans Olsen. Hans, BYU, they're the first Big 12 team that will play this week, and they're the only one that will play tonight. So, in fact, BYU's competition is the NFL, because you have the São Paulo, Brazil game that will be going on about an hour after our game kicks off between the Packers and the Eagles. But everything else in the Big 12 starts tomorrow. I would think probably the biggest marquee matchup is certainly Nebraska hosting Colorado. But obviously you have local ties with Utah hosting Baylor. Good matchup with Oklahoma State and Arkansas. Which of all the Big 12 games probably has your most attention going into tomorrow?
It's actually a great weekend, isn't it, Chip?
Yeah.
Of Big 12 games. But I think the one that we're probably all paying attention to is that Utah-Baylor game. Baylor has revamped their offense. They've made every change possible. Dave Aranda jumped right back into the defensive side, and Baylor looked really good in week one. This transfer quarterback looks really good in week one. They've got transfers across the board. They've got two transfer receivers that are doing great things. They've got a transfer running back. They've got two transfer offensive linemen, and they're doing everything they can to get that offense caught up. So Baylor and Utah is probably number one. But when we're talking about the national product, we're going to talk Colorado, Nebraska. Yeah. It's what you started out with. It's what all of our eyes are on. Do I think Colorado and Nebraska are two great teams that we should be watching for any type of national noise? No. Do I think that Deion Sanders continues to be one of the focal points nationally for college football? Absolutely. Am I enamored by him? Absolutely. He is an enigma. The guy pulls me in. So I'll be watching that one. And then the one I thought was really interesting, we got to start to pay attention to Arizona State, Shep, because Arizona State's at the very back end of BYU's schedule. And I actually look at Arizona State and Houston as games where BYU could possibly find win number six, win number seven, maybe that win number six that gets you to a bowl game. And you need Arizona State to be a winnable game. Well, Arizona State's favorite over Mississippi State. Not that Mississippi State's good, but they're a 5.5-point favorite over Mississippi State in the Mountain America Stadium there in Tempe, Arizona. So a lot of great games to pay attention to in the Big 12 this weekend.
Well, and that's the late game. That's the ESPN game at 8:30 Mountain Time. I think an interesting one for me, just simply because of the way Texas Tech began the season and, you know, you honestly probably should have lost a game. They're at Washington State. That's a game on Big Fox at 8 o'clock. I'm really curious to know how Texas Tech response. They're only a – or excuse me, Washington State is a two-point favorite. So Texas Tech's not even expected to win that game. I'm curious to see how the Red Raiders perform this year.
Well, I love what Washington State's doing, and I want good things for Washington State. You know, one of our old BYU players, one of my old teammates is up there, Mark Yatawaya, who was on Bronco Mendenhall's staff for so long. One of my absolute favorite coaches out of the state of Utah, Frank Miley, is out there with Washington State, and those guys are working their backsides off to get that thing turned around. So I'd love to see the win. But the one we didn't talk about that we should probably spend a little time with is the rivalry game between Iowa State and Iowa.
Very early in the season.
Yeah, Iowa comes into this thing as a number 21 ranked team, and this is being played at Iowa City. So we get to see if Iowa State is for real, because when I looked at Iowa State preseason, I felt like they were the potential dark horse, because they return a spectacular quarterback. They have a longstanding staple defense. They just get work done defensively. So if they can add a little offense, which I think that it's looking that way that they've done, then I expect Iowa State to be a really good team. Now, their offense did not look good in week one, but we do know that they've got some offense behind them. I was looking at preseason. I was looking at Rocco Becht as a potential dark horse, big-time offensive player for the Big 12, and he had nearly 300 yards passing and two touchdowns through the air in that opener against North Dakota, but it needs to look better. But Iowa State, Iowa, that's another good one.
Yeah, just to round out the schedule before we take a break, and we're going to visit with the voice. Greg Rubel is going to join us coming up on the other side. One of the other morning games is number 17, Kansas State at Tulane, so that game being played in New Orleans. Cincinnati hosting Pittsburgh. Cincinnati looked pretty good in their opening win. West Virginia looking to bounce back from the loss to Penn State, and they should do absolutely that. They take on the University of Albany, UCF. Hosting Sam Houston, number 19, Kansas, facing Illinois. And then what would have been a conference game last year now is a Big 12 versus SEC matchup as Oklahoma hosts Houston. And then TCU hosting Long Island University. And then Arizona versus Northern Arizona. That is your Big 12 Blitz coming up on the other side. Greg Rubel will join us. He's just wrapped up his conversation with the head coach of the Cougars, Kalani Sitake. We'll get some news and notes. Any personnel changes? We'll get all that when we come back. The Visit with the Voice, Greg Rubel, coming up after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Welcome back. Jason Shepherd in our BYU radio studios in Provo, Utah. Hans Olsen in the press box in Dallas, Texas, as BYU gets ready to face SMU on the road. And now joining us also in the broadcast booth, you will hear him on the game. He is the voice of the Cougars, and he is the one you love. He is Greg Rubel. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Jason.
So you have just spoken with the head coach of the Cougars, Kalani Sitake, as you always do before this segment. And I guess it is a very good thing. Normally when we start this segment, there's all of these changes and guys who maybe are not going to play, and we've got to go through this long list of all these personnel moves. Don't really have a whole lot of those, which is a good sign that everything went well in week one, right?
Yeah, tough to get out of a week one opener much better than BYU did. You get a clean win. You come out of it with almost no injury concerns, meaning the group you had last week is the group you've got this week. Plus, you get to add a Darius Lassiter to the mix. You get to return Jay Hill to the defensive coordinator role in the booth. I mean, yeah, it was a good week, and it got better this week. And by the way, I'm fortunate, Jason. You know, I get chilled out Kalani. I get barefoot Kalani for the pregame interview. You know, I get him when he is loose, and it's, you know, the game face isn't quite on yet, you know, so I get a good vibe from the big man.
Barefoot Kalani is the best descriptor you've ever had. And you've got a lot of good descriptors. But Barefoot Kalani tells it all, because I remember Barefoot Kalani as a team captain.
Yeah.
And it's the same as probably Barefoot head coach Kalani.
He's happy with the week of prep his team got. Well, it's a short week, but, man, BYU does well in these short week games. In fact, Kalani hasn't lost a short week away game following a previous Saturday night game yet as head coach. They've got something figured out about how to get just the right amount of prep in. No Sunday. You pack the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday with work. You travel Thursday. You play Friday. And so far, it's been working out pretty well. Personnel notes, nothing major beyond the return of Darius Lassiter, who had to sit out last week. Take a look at the secondary when it opens up tonight, Jason. They opened in nickel, and they have so many guys to play right now. And I think they feel good about any number of guys playing. Tanner Wall, Talon Alfrey, Raider DeMooney, Micah Harper, any one of those guys could slip into that two safety spot at the start of a game. And then they go Johnson and Collins and Robinson as three corners who opened the game last week. And I thought all guys played well. So I was really impressed. And Hans could speak a little more deeply to it. But the play of the BYU secondary last week, you know, it's always lip service when you say, oh, well, it could be the deepest group ever. And you played an FCS team in the opener. But to Hans, this, it feels like there, and a lot of this was born through the wars waged last year when some of these young guys kind of got thrown into the fire and emerged from it to now play more prominent roles this year. Maybe last year will end up paying off this season. But I thought for game one, and again, caliber of opponent being what it was, the secondary showed a couple things in week one.
Well, and I think they're just loaded with options. And you've got some real versatility in the receiving game for SMU. So you can mix and match because you've got the experience and the depth of knowledge with Jacob Robinson. You've got the aggression and hard hitting of Mark Collins. You'd mentioned Micah Harper. Micah Harper, we want to see more from Micah Harper in this game. Some big plays because Micah Harper can do that. Evan Johnson, really fantastic player. You know, Tanner Wall, I thought he stepped in. I thought he had some really good moments. But I will say this about this.
Yeah, he had the big special team stop on the fake punt,
which was awesome.
Yep.
I will say this about this safeties and corners group. They're going to play a very big part in making sure that these quarterbacks don't get out of the pocket and don't start picking up extra yardage. They've got to pay attention to those scrambles. Once they know he's crossed the line of scrimmage, break off of your responsibility and get yourself into a gap, get yourself into a lane, and make sure that these quarterbacks are corralled.
And whether it's on scrambles or simple sack avoidance or designed runs, neither Preston Stone nor Kevin Jennings have a single lost yard yet through two games on the year. Now, it's only two games, but, again, these guys are used to gaining. When they take off, again, whether it's designed or scrambling, they've been making positive gains. And after seeing what DJ Williams did last week running for a buck plus, yeah. Kalani actually in our pregame interview, Jason and Hans, brought up the NFL game. He said, sometimes you think nothing's figured out.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, a Lamar, you know, we're talking different level of guys, but you can defend a play schematically pretty well.
Yeah.
And then a running quarterback blows it all up.
So when you watch Lamar, his jab steps are really impressive. And quarterbacks can be so deceptive. As a former defensive end, I did play DN, played D tackle as well at BYU. When you've got quarterbacks that have a nice jab step into the pocket, it just changes everything about your rush and your vision. And then offensive linemen, they can reset, Greg. So if a quarterback jabs and I make a move at the gap that he jabbed to, that allows the guard to reset his hand on my chest. And then he's got me locked and the quarterback can come back the other side. Mitch and I were just watching film on Preston Stone. And Mitch said, geez, that looks like Zach Wilson's movements. I'm talking about his rushing movements. Mm. He jabs the pocket well. He makes little moves that allow offensive linemen to reset. And that's why these guys can get in their gaps and they can get their extra yardage. And that's why you got to have guys like Wall. You got to have guys like Harper. You got to have guys like Alfrey that can step up. And obviously Jack Kelly, Harrison Taggart, Glasgow, all those guys. They have to be able to pick up those pockets, Greg.
Jason, there you go. By the way, one of the BYU staffers came out and said, you know, it's a good thing I have this towel because he was toweling off on the 50-step walk from the tunnel to the field. It is a muggy, sweltering afternoon here in Big D. We hope the thunderstorms stay away. You can look around and kind of see that kind of stuff percolating. We hope to avoid any delays and weather-caused issues tonight. But either way, an early marquee matchup here for BYU.
All right, I have one question. We're out of time, so I will make this quick. But I think we've all been in that situation where you go to an event and you think it's one dress code. It turns out to be something else. And so you go in and you're overdressed. And then you're like, man, I feel really uncomfortable here. And maybe if you had a tie, you take the tie off. Or maybe you unbutton the top button. I want to go back to you interviewing Kalani without his shoes on. Have you ever felt I'm I'm too overdressed, and you've taken your shoes off and interviewed him.
Never once. And I'm going to keep protocol pretty solid that way. I'm going to stay fully shorn when it comes to my pregame interviews. He can wear whatever he wants or doesn't want to. I'll keep kind of my routine, and he's more than welcome to do whatever he wants.
Just a suggestion. I think just one time walking in a lava without shoes would make him feel as comfortable as he makes you feel, Greg. I don't know if it'll happen.
That's what I'm saying.
It would be awesome.
There you go, Chase.
Guys, great stuff. Thank you so much. We'll let you get a little bit of a break. We'll hear both of you coming up in about 25 minutes. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
There we go. That's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell and Hans Olsen. You'll hear them along with Mitchell Juergens on the broadcast coming up in just a little bit. And speaking of Mitchell Juergens, he will join us next. We'll get his thoughts on this game tonight as the Cougars take on the Mustangs. But before that, we will pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is BYU Radio on KBYU FM HD2 Provo. You are listening to BYU Football on BYU Radio. The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
This is Mountain America Credit Union Cougar pregame. Live Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. The Cougars in Dallas, the Metroplex, taking on the 2-0 SMU Mustangs. Joining me now from the press box in Dallas at Gerald J. Ford Stadium is former Cougar receiver and our sideline reporter, Mitchell Juergens. Mitchell, back in his home state. How you feeling, buddy?
Hey, always feeling good in Texas. Texas is one of the greatest places on earth, so I'm in my happy place, we'll say that.
But your brother, your twin, doesn't live in Dallas. He's back here in Utah now, right?
Yeah, he's back in Utah, which is awesome. We're both settling in Utah. Our whole family's down in Houston, so we have three more siblings and my parents. So we're the only two that are in Utah. My dad actually came out to the game, so he's going to be in the stadium. It'll be fun to catch up with him. It's a great place to be.
Well, very nice. Let's get into this. Before we look at tonight, I do want to ask you, what answers did you get about BYU in the week one win over Southern Illinois?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, this looks like a better team than last year. A lot of significant improvements that we wanted to see coming into the year. Couple of those things that I want to highlight first. The depth and health is in a really, really good spot. One of the things that stuck out to me in fall camp is we didn't see too much of, hey, you know, these devastating injuries where guys were out in fall camp for the season or for a good 6-week, 8-week chunk. The guys stayed healthy, and then even in the first game, I didn't give one injury report on the sideline. And so for the most part, you stay healthy, and the depth was already good. That's going to do so much for this team moving forward. I mean, we saw it on the offensive side, 10 different receivers caught passes, or 10 or 11, I can't remember.
11, yeah.
11 receivers caught passes last week. Just speaks to the depth, and that was even without Darius Lassiter, who could be one of the top targets here on this or within this BYU receiving core. So there's just so much depth to go around. All three running backs looked really good, and I think that's really encouraging. On top of that, like if you go to the defensive side, I love the play of the secondary. You heard Greg talk a little bit about it in the last segment with Evan Johnson, Mark Collins, Jacob Robinson. Those guys, they looked so good last week. They were stride for stride. The one big play that came on Evan Johnson was actually the play that shouldn't have been ruled a catch, and it was an incredible one-on-one matchup. He did his job. He was stride for stride, made a play on the ball, broke it up, should have been reviewed, so it wasn't ruled a catch. But these corners are playing so well on the defensive front side. There was a ton of aggression. They were getting to the quarterback, tackles for loss, quarterback hurries. I mean, all those things were, as you go back to last season, there wasn't much of it. And so coming in here, you got the depth, you've got so much, it seems like so much more talent. And whether it's more talent or just more experience within the offensive scheme and the defensive scheme,
yeah,
that does a lot to the confidence of the players, and I think we're seeing it right now.
All right, let's stay on the defensive side of the ball. We've talked a lot about the up-tempo offense for SMU. What can BYU's defense do to counteract that, or at least not be caught off guard by it?
Well, first off, it definitely starts it started well before kickoff happens today. If you're gonna be ready to go for a high tempo, high powered offense like SMU, where they're sprinting to the line of scrimmage to get the next play off, if you're not dialed in and prepped, if you didn't spend a ton of time in the film room to ensure that, hey, you know exactly where you're supposed to be pre-snap, where you're supposed to be post-snap, and because at any point, if you're thinking too long and trying to figure out, like, looking around, am I supposed to be here? Am I supposed to be there? If you're off by 2 yards on your alignment, you've lost the play because they're snapping it, they're going, and that could be the gap that they end up taking advantage of, and you put yourself in a bad position on defense. And so, I mean, the hope is, and from the sounds of it, this BYU team's going to be ready and prepped and dialed in for this game. They've spent a lot of time, at least what I'm hearing, but individually I hope the players did the same. On top of that, aside from the preparation, I'll keep saying it, but if you can get your edge rushers, that front seven, to bring and put pressure on these two quarterbacks, especially that are mobile, that have a number of different weapons within their toolkit. They can throw the ball, they can run, they can extend plays. If you can put pressure on them and make them uncomfortable, put the play callers in positions where they're calling second and longs, third and longs, and maybe that takes the play caller to think about it a little bit more, and it has to slow them down. It throws them off their tracks. You've got to mix it up, and I think it starts with that front seven, getting those quarterbacks uncomfortable and in positions that maybe they're not used to, because they're so used to just driving the ball, marching the ball down the field, scoring quick. Make it challenging for them, and I think that's going to be one of your go-tos.
Let's talk about BYU's quarterback and Jake Retzlaff. I was very impressed with what I saw from him in week one, with the caveat that we know that the more film you put out there, the more defenses can scheme against it, and certainly the level of competition is increasing. But with what we saw, the numbers, the command of the offense from Jake in week one, how much of what we saw there do you believe can be replicated and become the norm for him this year?
Yeah, what I loved most about last week was how decisive he was with the decisions he was making. On that very first drive where BYU had a third down and then two fourth downs, there were some big plays on that drive. And all three of those completions came by, Jake's snap, or the snap came, he caught the ball, immediately set his feet and knew exactly where he was going. That's a quarterback that what I'm seeing is he has taken his preparation in, like, very, very serious. He understands the defense. He understands his own offense incredibly well. And so that confidence should be able to carry over. And when you ask the question, like, what can be replicated, if he continues to put himself in positions to learn these defenses in the week prior to the game coming up, and then understand his offense so much more, he's going to continue to be in command. And that's what we saw last week, which was just incredibly impressive. On top of that, the weapons that he has, I know I alluded to this before, at the receiving positions, is just remarkable. Last game, we saw him throw deep down the field to give his receivers a chance. One of my favorite plays from last week was the Keelan Marion 52-yard pass, or however long it was over 50 yards. He just threw that up and allowed Keelan to go make a play.
Yeah.
It wasn't a perfect ball. He had to adjust his route a little bit to come down, get around those three guys and make the catch. If Jake can continue to do that, have trust in his receivers and give them shots to go win those 50-50 matchups, I think that's something that, again, can be replicated week after week as you continue to build chemistry and confidence and get and let your playmakers make plays. I think that's a sign of a good quarterback. Every quarterback knows it's not just on their shoulders. You've got to be able to have that level of trust with your playmakers and your receivers. And this year, Jake has that.
All right, Mitch, last thing. To me, and I go back to even when the schedule came out, and we saw what the non-conference schedule looked like for BYU. To me, this game tonight was always going to be the game that determined whether or not BYU's non-conference schedule finished at 3-0 or 2-1. This is such a big game for BYU. How big of a game is this, do you think it is, and what would a win mean for this team in terms of what its overall goal is this year?
Yeah, when you look at the record, I 100% agree with you. We saw Wyoming. They're not looking like the Wyoming that maybe we potentially would have thought we'd see coming into the season. And so I think you're exactly right. A win here, BYU could be 3-0. A loss could be 2-1. With that said, though, I want to focus more like outside of the record. What this does, like when I look at this SMU team, this is an SMU team that potentially is in the top tier of the ACC with the talent that they have. This is a really good football team. And so if they can win this game, I think they've just proven to themselves, to viewers, to opponents, that they're going to be able to compete in every single Big 12 game following. And I think that's more important when we look at what this game means for this team. Is this isn't a Southern Illinois where they should be able to just comfortably walk in there and walk away with a win, but this is going to be a challenging game. And if they can do that, then I have confidence that this team goes toe-to-toe. They could go toe-to-toe with any Big 12 team on the schedule, assuming they continue to do the little things right and put themselves in these positions to compete week after week.
Mitch, great stuff as always. Always appreciate the insight and the conversation. We'll let you go and get ready to head back out into the humidity. Have fun tonight, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Jason.
There we go. Mitchell Juergens, you'll hear him on the broadcast, roaming the sidelines at Gerald J. Ford Stadium in the Metroplex. After this break, some comments from SMU head coach Rhett Lashley and what he thinks of BYU on both sides of the football. That's next on Mountain America Credit Union, Cougar Pregame Live on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to Big 12 Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
Well, we're about 50 minutes away from kickoff in Dallas. BYU and SMU coming your way right here on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. Well, Rhett Lashley is two games into his third season as the head coach of the SMU Mustangs. He met with the media this week to talk about the matchup with the Cougars, and he discusses the BYU offense in general, but also the chance that the Cougars play both quarterbacks tonight.
I think you always got to expect to, you know. Now they really went with one guy in the first game for the most part. I think they're confident in their quarterback. I think he had four starts a year ago, played really well in the first game. I mean, like 20 of 30 for a lot of yards, a lot of explosive passes. I mean, they present a lot of problems because they're big up front. They got a good downhill running back, so they can run the football right at you and just sustain and control the game. But they like to take their shots, their play action stuff off of it. They've got two really good receivers. They got really good tight ends. So they're a problem offensively. And I think you saw that as the game went on. They really opened up in the second half. Again, it was their first game. So sometimes offenses, it takes them a little bit to get their footing. And then they were really efficient. But yeah, I mean, the Bohannon kid, we're familiar with him. He's from Arkansas. He spent time at Baylor and somewhere else, I can't remember. So, I mean, he's a talented dude who can throw it and run it, so I wouldn't be shocked to see anything.
All right, speaking of playing two quarterbacks, and we've referenced this a couple of times during the pregame show, Coach Lashley says his team definitely has a starter at quarterback, but they will continue to give backup Kevin Jennings snaps as well.
Preston's our starter. He earned that job. He is the starter, and he's going to start, and he's going to play a lot. I still think you'll see Kevin. The last game was – the way it went was loud. We kind of played back and forth a little more than we probably normally would, but it was good to get both those guys a lot of drives and even Keldrick in there. But yeah, nothing's changed. Preston's our starter, and I think they're both playing at a really good level. They're both valuing the football. They're both putting the ball in the end zone when they're out there a lot. So we'll continue to go as is, and you know, I think BYU should be ready for both of them.
All right, from offense to defense, Coach talks about the BYU defense and how impressed he is with them.
They make you earn everything. New defensive coordinator from when we played them 2 years ago. You know, if you look, they played well early last year. They had a rough patch. Schedule was tough. They had Oklahoma and Oklahoma State beat the last two games last year and lost them late. But, like, they were up big, especially in the Oklahoma State game. And what I saw the other night is they don't give up explosive plays. They're big up front. So their size is a problem because it's hard to move in the run game. I think they've got good juice off the edge to rush the passer, though, so we'll be tested at tackle when we do throw the football. And I think their linebackers are much improved. They just look faster. They look a little more sudden than who they were playing with last year. And then, like I said, their structure on the back end is similar to us in that the way they play their single high stuff and have the ability to play too high as well. I don't want to call it bend but don't break. They don't give you a lot of explosive stuff. They keep it in front. They make you earn it. They don't beat themselves. They don't turn people loose, which as an offense causes you to execute extremely at a high level and be balanced. Otherwise, you're going to struggle.
All right, last thing from Coach Lashley. Expectations can be both good and bad. And with the Mustangs sitting at 2-0 and favored in today's game by double digits, Coach Lashley says he's not buying it.
There's been a lot of buzz around our program, which is great. There's a lot of overzealous people out there prognosticating what we're supposed to do. I mean, there's no pressure on us. We're not supposed to win these games, right? I mean, if you look at history, you know, the four teams that went into the Big 12 last year, none of them had a winning record in their first year. You know, now we haven't had that many bites yet, but I don't think, and y'all can fact check me, I don't think we won a home game against a Power Four opponent since 2010. Now, we've probably only had 10 games at home against, we haven't played one even every year at home. So we just need to relax and go play. I think we got a good team. We're not there yet. I mean, just into week three, we're still in that early season process where you're trying to figure out your identity and who you're going to be on both sides of the ball. But, like, you know, some of these things out there are kind of baffling. I mean, to me, we're the underdog every week. Doesn't matter what the line says. It doesn't matter. Like, we're not supposed to come in and beat everybody. Now, on the flip side, I mean, our guys are confident, and I think they know that we can compete at this level. I think they feel good that we belong, so we have to go out and show that. But there's no pressure on us, only the pressure we put on ourselves.
All right, that's the head coach of the SMU Mustangs, Rhett Lashley. We'll wrap up Cougar Pregame Live right after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougars play in the Big 12 on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, wrapping things up from Provo. We'll get you out to Dallas coming up in just a second. Just a reminder, BYU and SMU, they're the only college game tonight featuring P4 teams. There's no other Big 12 teams in action tonight, no other top 25 games going on tonight. BYU's only football competition is the National Football League. You've got the São Paulo, Brazil game. With a rare Friday night game in the NFL as the Eagles take on Jordan Love, the former Utah State Aggie, and the Green Bay Packers. I'll obviously, coming up at halftime, update you on that score. We'll look ahead to tomorrow's Big 12 schedule. Plus, BYU TV's Blaine Fowler will join me at halftime, get his thoughts on the first half, which we all hope, as Cougar fans, is certainly a good one. Coming up next, it's the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show with Greg Wrubell and Kalani Sitake. You're listening to BYU Football on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
It's time to hear from the head coach of the BYU Cougars, Kalani Sitake. This is the Cougar Pregame Coaches Show, presented by Zions Bank. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. The Cougar Pregame Coaches Show is also brought to you by Big O Tires. Stop by your locally owned and operated Big O Tires, the team you trust. Let's join Hans Olsen and the voice of the Cougars, Greg Wrubell.
From deep in the heart of Texas, good evening, Cougar football fans, and welcome inside Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, a 32,000-seat home of the SMU Mustangs, a team on a 9-game home win streak, tied for the 5th longest current home win streak in the FBS. BYU out tonight to snap that streak and pick up its first away win since September of last season, while improving its all-time record against SMU to a perfect 5-0. My name is Greg Wrubell. I'll have your play-by-play call tonight, joined by my left-hand man, the former BYU and pro lineman, the big man himself, Hans Olsen. Only week two, Hans, but already a lot riding on this one. SMU off to a 2-0 start. BYU got a confidence-boosting season-opening win over an FCS foe last week, but there are a lot of encouraging signs. This is a big-time barometer game for both teams.
It is. It's as big for SMU as it is for BYU, and I think about where SMU is, just moving into the ACC. So they are now in a Power Four conference, and they're trying to make a splash. Greg, as you've heard, they've had millions of dollars pour in from boosters. It was like $100 million in the first couple of months when they needed the money that they lost as they moved into the ACC and not taking TV revenue. So people are pouring money in. They got all kinds of expectations placed on them, and they've shown amazingly here at Ford Stadium. And then you got BYU. You know, before we put on the chaps and the dusters and the ropers and our cowboy hats and head to Laramie, you got to take care of business here, because that game in Laramie is looking much better for BYU. But if they can seal this game up, then we're talking about a potential 3-0 start in non-conference games. This is a massive barometer. This is going to tell us so much about how they're able to man up and run with the receivers of the Big 12 coming up in conference play.
Coming up next, the pregame thoughts of BYU head coach Kalani Sitake as the Zions Bank Cougar pregame coaches show continues on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
The Cougar pregame coaches show continues. Once again, here's Greg Wrubell.
We are live at Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas for BYU and SMU. Second time playing the Mustangs in Big D, but the first time facing SMU in this stadium. BYU's only other game at SMU back in 1997. The teams met in the Cotton Bowl Stadium. BYU's, however, played a game already in this venue, the 2011 Armed Forces Bowl. BYU beat Tulsa on this field, but since that time, the stadium has been expanded and renovated. New video boards and a new end zone seating and football facility complex, replacing a grass berm section from days of yore. The upgrades coming in time for SMU's first season as a Power Conference member, with the Mustangs joining the ACC now here in 2024. Time now for my pregame conversation with BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. It's brought to you by Zions Bank. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. And under Kalani, BYU 4-0 in Friday night away games that follow a Saturday game the previous week. So I asked the coach about what goes into making sure his guys are ready to go when going on the road in a short week.
So, well, I mean, I think you can. We've done it a lot of different ways, schedules. It's not like I can take a lot of credit for that, other than I think the guys, and they like playing a day earlier or maybe 2 days earlier, depending on the short week. And I think just for that reason alone, allows them to be razor sharp right from the beginning. There's not a lot of time to waste, and so I think we use our time more efficiently, and that probably goes for the staff just as much as it does for the players.
How'd the work week go for your team this week?
Really good. I mean, we've had some really good practices. We've had to be really careful talking with our sports scientists and our strength coaches, just what level do we push, and then just kind of looking at all the information that we have. I mean, we put them on the GPS system so we can kind of see. And kind of, you have to push them to the point of just can't break them. So you have to push them to a point where we can still get better. And I think we did that this week, and I think we're in a good spot. The guys should be feeling fresh, and their legs should be ready to roll by the time we hit the kickoff tonight.
You mentioned the word staff. Saw Coach Hill. He's on the trip. Where will he be during the game tonight?
He'll be in the box, and you know, we'll be working with the calls from up there. I'll be on the field. And so much like what you saw from last week, it'll be very similar. We'll see what happens. But in terms of the preparation, I thought Jay and the defensive staff did a great job adjusting and getting everything ready for, you know, we're working with his situation and being careful with him. But it's good to have him back in a more established role now. And it helps me out because I can try to focus on being a head coach too.
It's also good to have Darius Lassiter back the field for you on offense.
And he had a great week of preparation, so we're excited. I mean, he only adds to the to the weapons that Jake can use and that A-Rod can use, and so we're excited to see him on the field. He made plays for us all spring ball and all through camp, and so hopefully that shows up tonight.
Anything you want to see cleaned up from week one?
We've seen this level of play. Sometimes things get chippy. Like to have our guys have the right mindset. I don't mind it being intense. Just got to be in between the whistles. We talked about this quite a bit as a team, being more disciplined. And I think some of the issues that we had last week, we definitely can fix. It's a couple breakdowns, letting the quarterback get out in the run game. So we've worked on that. I mean, it's a difficult task to do. I mean, even the Kansas City Chiefs had a hard time doing that with Lamar Jackson last night. So it's something everybody wants to do, but it's easier said than done. But I think we're in a good spot now, and some really good things that we can learn from last week.
Yeah, good prep for what you're going to see in both Preston Stone and Kevin Jennings. Both guys can get out and run.
Oh, yeah, and they have tons of ability. So, I mean, if they want to lean on the run game with the QB, then we'll have to make some adjustments. But I think we're anticipating that already. But they have some really good running backs, too, and they have some great skill that can catch the ball. So I imagine, I mean, they've been 50-50 in catch and run, throw and run, but it's limiting the big plays is the key. Whether they're running the ball or throwing it, we just have to make sure that we keep it in front of us and don't give them any cheap ones.
A few players back from that 2022 New Mexico Bowl against SMU on both sides. That was Rhett Lashley's first year with the DC. They're a much better group than they were, and you look differently, of course, too. You were just trying to get through that game, I think, get to the end of the season and win it, which you did, but not a ton you can take from 2022.
No, I mean, I think there's when you look at it, you can see the progress made from their program and even ours from 2 years ago, so but a lot of the foundational scheme is still there. There's just better athletes, and their tight end is a veteran now. I think that was his freshman year,
yep.
And now he's
had one catch.
Yeah, so he's a force, and you're looking at the entire team. I mean, I think like I said, I think Rhett Lashley's done a great job with this group. It's going to take all of our attention and our guys being focused. But I feel really good about our preparation. I feel good. I just want to see the guys play and kind of show them off and see what happens.
When you met back in 2022, it was BYU's last game as an independent. They were in the American. Now we have Power Conference versus Power Conference tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's what a difference two years can make. Yeah. But we're really excited about this game, excited to be here in Dallas, and excited to see our fans out here. We already see some royal blue out there. And I think SMU wears that color, too, so it makes us feel a lot more at home.
Well, good luck on this one, Coach. We'll talk to you post-game.
Thank you. Go Cougs.
All right, that is BYU head coach Kalani Sitake. This has been the Zions Bank Cougar Pregame Coaches Show. As we go to break, let's present tonight's Ford Keys to the Game. They're brought to you by your local Ford stores. BYU football built Ford proud here at Ford Stadium. Hans Olsen's got three keys.
I heard they're extending it to 25 keys. Are we going to move to 25 at any point? Because in a game like this, I could give you 25 keys that are going to be critical, but I'm going to give you the top three. BYU did a very good job stopping the run against non-quarterback rushers last week, but SMU is going to do their homework, Greg. Both Kevin Jennings and Preston Stone can get out of the pocket, and you got to make sure that their options are shut down and that the pass is forced. They combined for over 110 yards rushing and a touchdown on the ground in their first two games. So both these quarterbacks can move. You got to stop the run game, and you got to stop the quarterback run game. And if you do that, you're going to be in great shape. Number two, you've got to keep an eye on SMU's tight end, number 82, R.J. Maryland. He will torch you if you let him. He is an NFL tight end. He is probably a top two-round draft pick at that tight end position. He went 8 catches for 162 yards against Nevada. He did most of that work in the second half. Greg, that was after halftime adjustments. You got to watch for halftime adjustments with number 82, because what he does in the first half, he won't do in the second. He's 6'4", 240 pounds, and he can run. So guys like Isaiah Glasker, Michael Harper, Talon Alfrey, other big physical guys, you got to hit him at every level of the route. And you got to test his toughness. You got to punch him in the mouth, and you cannot let him get to where he wants to go easily. Number three, SMU's best position group is their defensive line. It's deep, and they got a bunch of playmakers. Be ready for that defensive line battle, and watch out for Isaiah Wacobia. He's already put down 14 tackles this year. He had 6 interceptions, and he had 2 pick sixes last year alone.
He's a safety.
He's a safety, and he's a boss. And he moves around, and he plays extremely well, and he wears that coveted number 23. And that number 23 has real significance at SMU. That goes back to Jerry Levias, who was the first black football player at SMU in 1966. And so the best defender gets the chance to wear that number 23, and he does it with honor, Greg. He's everywhere, and they give him autonomy. He walks up the line. He's crazy in goal line. He's crazy in big fourth down situations. He makes big plays, so know where he's at all times.
Those are the Ford keys to the game. The Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show coming up after this on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
We're getting closer to kickoff of BYU football. You're tuned to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show. Ken Garf, we hear you. The Cougar Kickoff Show is also brought to you by the BYU Creamery, serving sweet memories for 75 years. Let's head live to the All-Pro Capital broadcast booth. Alongside Hans Olsen, here's the voice of the Cougars, Greg Vrubel.
Good evening once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Gerald J. Ford Stadium, Dallas, Texas, for 1-0 BYU at 2-0 SMU. Mustangs on a high-scoring home win streak that stretches back to 2022. But BYU is the best team that SMU has seen here in some time. Great test for both teams with some high early season stakes on the line. This is the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show presented by Ken Garf. We hear you. Greg Vrubel, Hans Olsen, coming away from the broadcast booth, former BYU wide receiver, the Texan Mitchell Juergens joining us from the sidelines and the Zions Bank end zone. For banking that goes the extra yard, Zions Bank is for you. Our scoreboard host is Jason Shepard. Audio engineers Scott Sandstrom and Doug Olson. Our spotter Jake Murphy. Coordinating producer Terry South. Control board operator Seth Larson. You are tuned in on the new skin, BYU Sports Network, our satellite flagship, BYU Radio, Sirius XM 143 over the air, KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM. You can also listen to us on the BYU Radio app, the KSL app, new this year, the TuneIn app, as well as on BYURadio.org and network affiliates in Utah and Idaho. And be sure to subscribe to the BYU Football Podcast for broadcast archives and highlights. You can also get those on the BYU Radio app and at BYURadio.org. Search sports or shows and look for BYU Football. Well, outcomes in games against FCS opponents, sometimes hard to judge, but I think you can see a number of positives from last week's 41-13 home win over Southern Illinois. First of all, SIU is a good FCS program. They'd beaten an FBS team in each of the last two seasons. They're a regular FCS playoff player. The coach is solid. The Saluki starting quarterback was a handful in the run game especially, so it was a decent FCS opponent. Next, BYU hands, I thought, looked clean and cohesive. Only 3 penalties. We weren't witnessing formation confusion or other traditional first-game jitters. The Cougars look more in control than they did early last season.
Well, I think that is a reflection of who this coaching staff is. I wish people could get to know Aaron Roderick and Fessy Satake and some of these guys like I know them, and years of playing with them and knowing them and covering their teams. You know, I think back to it, Greg. I go back to my 7 years of professional football I played and then my 18 years of broadcasting that I've done and all the work that I've put into the game of football over those years. These guys have been coaching. They've been coaching at different levels. They've been learning new concepts. Last year, they were tested. That offense was tested, and they didn't feel good about the score that they were putting up in that test. So Aaron Roderick, Fessy Satake, I think they've all refocused. They brought in a new O-line coach, a new tight ends coach, and you could see it was all settled down.
Another positive was the play of starting quarterback Jake Retzlaff. Career highs for Jake in passing yards, passing touchdowns, completion percentage, pass efficiency rating. He showed why he won the job, first of all, and I thought he showed a lot of improvement over last season's 4-game stint when he was BYU starter.
Okay, so we're going to watch this really close today too, Greg, because I think that this may be a lesson that we all need to learn. How many transfers do you bring in? How many transfers do you try to infuse? And how much do you work on continuity? Because there is not a there in the starting group and really the contributors, there was not a one-year transfer that was really out on the field with this offense. These are all guys that had worked together last year in connectivity, including this offensive line, nearly four across. Other than Sonny Mancini, everybody has had experience together. So I think we saw a result of continuity. Please put this in the memory bank. And when you're thinking of hitting that transfer portal because you're in a panic and you got to replace a bunch of guys like you did in 2023, just make the right moves.
Good points. More of the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show is coming up. As we break, we remind you to go to BigOTires.com. Make an appointment at one of 50 locally owned and operated Utah locations. Big O Tires, the team you trust. Pre-game coverage of BYU and SMU continues right after this. Live from Big D, Dallas, Texas, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network. BYU and SMU coming up top of the hour. SMU has won its last nine home games, scoring an average, yes, an average of 53.9 points per game in those nine home wins. Yes, there were a lot of AAC, American Conference, lesser lights on that opponent list. That's still a pretty impressive number. On the flip side, SMU has not beaten a power conference at home in 14 years. Hands, yes, BYU has its handful tonight. They're a double-digit underdog, the Cougars are. But SMU's seeing a Big 12 team tonight, a team that is playing with a chip on its shoulder. Tonight we see if the execution can match the motivation and give the Cougars a win that would make some waves.
Well, it will make waves, and this will be a win that BYU can look back at and be proud of, because I do believe SMU is going to be an eight-win team. I know that they play this ACC schedule, but let me just go through this for you really quick, because it's not a bunch of gamers. Cal, Virginia, Pitt, Duke, Stanford, Florida State.
There's some wins there.
There are many, many wins that are going to be in this ACC schedule for SMU. Greg, SMU could mess around and be in the ACC championship game. And if BYU's got a nice little W next to this one, it makes big waves.
Time now for tonight's Hyatt Place Comfort Zone feature at Hyatt Place Provo. Your convenience and comfort will always be our highest priority. And despite being eased into training camp and taking a little less contact than normal in preparation for this year, running back L.J. Martin looked pretty comfortable in leading BYU in carries and rushing yards last week. He also scored twice, once through the air, once on the ground. Hands, he was part of a pretty solid 1-2 punch with Hinkley Ropati, who also scored. Miles Davis got a bit of run. The yards per carry number, not overwhelming. It's got to get better. But the ground game was pretty reliable in moving the chains. BYU did not have a single offensive three and out in the opener.
And SMU is going to test that. We were talking about number 10, Anthony Booker, defensive lineman for SMU.
Flashbacks of a Trevondre Sweat from Texas.
Thank you very much. Oh, and by the way, he drafted well. Oh, yeah, and he played extremely well against BYU's offensive front. Well, Anthony Booker is built much similar to that. He's 6'4", he goes about 355, and he can move. I was showing you some film on the drive over. He took a double team on, sheds the double team, works down the line, hits the running back a yard in the backfield, took a double team a yard back, hits the running back, knocks the ball out of his hands, and SMU's able to recover. That's the kind of player he is. So you're going to have to be really good on the power doubles, nice on the zone steps, and make sure you're really rotating those running backs, keeping them healthy, keeping them healthy and keeping them fresh.
More of the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show coming up from Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas right after this break on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
BYU and SMU straight ahead. Defensive coordinator Jay Hill back on the call after a health scare last week. That's great news. And Jay Hill had to be happy with how his defensive group played last week. 13 points allowed, under 5 yards per play, 33% third down conversion for SIU. More on the BYU D, but let's catch the closing strains of our national anthem here in Dallas. defense, Hans, you were looking to see some specific things against Southern Illinois. What did the BYU defense show you, and what are you looking to see more of tonight?
Well, I want to just see those quarterback pockets really start to narrow down and make sure that all those gaps are clamped up. So we could spend 45 minutes trying to break down what they got to do defensively tonight against SMU. But, Greg, I think it's really going to come down to a certain mix of going to the zone. Jay Hill loves to run press man. Press man takes those guys and it turns their backs to the quarterback. So make sure you're running the zones. Make sure you're keeping guys' eyes and focus on that quarterback and not allowing him to get through those gaps. But I'm giving him 7 points. It was 7. Remember, in the postgame, you said it. You said, Hans, I'm taking away 6 or I'm taking away 7 points because the officials missed a call. Their defense was so good outside of the quarterback rushing, so good last week.
Coming up down the field level to hear from Mitchell Juergens as the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show continues from Dallas on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
You're listening to the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.
All right, so BYU meeting SMU for the first time since the regular season of 1997. In the regular season, that is. Of course, they've met in the postseason since back in that 2022 New Mexico Bowl. But, yeah, a couple of regular season meetings, 1996-97, when they were in the WAC together. Back to that 1997 game. It was in Dallas here, but at the Cotton Bowl Stadium. A redshirt freshman by the name of Hans Olsen had one solo tackle in that 19-16 BYU win in overtime back in 97. But Hans, the victory came with a steep physical cost.
It did, and that one tackle came with a cost because in that tackle I got wadded up in the pile and I suffered a high ankle sprain. It split the tibia and fibula all the way up to near the kneecap, just broke all the other cartilage that holds it together, and worst injury. One of only two injuries I suffered. And I had to leave the game. I couldn't come back for about 6-7 weeks. It was a miserable recovery. But
fun win, but not great, aftermath for you.
A great win. Was it overtime?
It was overtime. Brian McKenzie scores the touchdown run in overtime.
And, of course, Brian McKenzie, my hero. Right. And his two sons playing here for BYU today.
Down to field level now, former BYU wide receiver Mitchell Juergens. Mitch reporting from the Zions Bank end zone for banking that goes the extra yard. Zions Bank is for you. Mitch, as productive as BYU's passing game was last week, and it was very good, Jake Retzloff gets an additional weapon tonight. Darius Lassiter back after sitting for one game. OC Aaron Roderick says Darius was arguably BYU's best player in camp. I'm excited to see him get his first snaps of the season tonight, but I'm also excited to see Chase Roberts, Keelan Mary, and JoJo Phillips go back to work. The wideouts were really good last week.
Yeah, Greg, getting Darius Lassiter back is a huge get for BYU in this receiving core. He was great last year, but what stood out to me most about his performance from last year was how much better he got late in the season. It's obvious he has the talent and probably has the most sure hands on the team, but I wouldn't attribute his improvement to just how athletic he was, rather how much more comfortable he became in the offense as he started to master the playbook. And, I mean, you look at a full season, off season, and fall camp with Jake, I think the sky's the limit for Darius this year. But, you know, as you mentioned, he's competing for targets with some really talented guys in that room. Chase Roberts last week was phenomenal. We saw flashes from these other players. I wouldn't be surprised if who becomes the top dog in that room, if it rotates week to week, because I don't think you could say one guy is going to carry this team or be the leader on this field because there's just so much talent to go around.
Good stuff, Mitch. Thank you. Coming up next, tonight's coin toss and then the opening kick. This has been the Ken Garf Cougar Kickoff Show, live from Gerald J. Ford Stadium in Dallas, Texas, on the new skin, BYU Sports Network.